There it is. You about ready back there? Good to go. All right. Brandon had asked me a couple of weeks ago if I could speak. He made it sound like it was going to be further down the road. Well, it wasn't. So if you'll turn to Psalms 119, 49 through 56. Everybody there? Okay. Well, I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to, 49 through 56. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll go back and do some dissecting. It says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word has quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Remember my judgments of old. O Lord, have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept the law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." And when Brandon had told me to do this, he's told me to read all the way through Psalms 19. So I read it. I went back, read it again. And I said, "Lord, you know," and every time I read it, I ended up at 49 and 50. So I thought I'd read the whole thing because it's the whole deal. Okay. Now then, in verse 49, David is asking the Lord to remember the promise he had made to him, emphasizing his role as his servant. Okay? And in 50, Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort from the Scriptures might have hope." I love that one. In 51, it's talking about the proud and stuff. Job 23:11 says, "My foot have held his steps, in his way have I kept and not declined." And that's what we all should strive to do, is to keep his word, to live his word, to read his word, to soak in his word, because without that, we can't overcome without his word. And like I've always said in the past, this is Jesus Christ in black and white. You want to know how to follow Christ? You read the Bible. You read his word. That's why the Lord gave it to us. Okay. 52, he says, "Remember our judgments, O Lord, of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." Psalms 103, 17, and 18. "But mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon all them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them." That's good stuff. The word is so amazing, it will read you unbelievably. It will read you and it will tell you how to change. It will show you. It's like I've said so many times when I'm in men's meetings or men's breakfast, this will read you, but every word in it is action words. And I don't like it when I switch over to a minister and I'm listening to him and they say, "Well, you don't have to do nothing to be saved." Well, first off, you have to believe. That's an action word. You know, so you got to put action to your faith. That I believe. I believe you have to put action to your faith, or else you're just going to be the same person that you was before. Okay. 53, it says, horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Psalms 89, 30 through 33. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not be utterly taken from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So if you're doing something wrong and you're feeling like you're being chastised, you probably are. Because he loves you. And we chastised our children when they were growing up. Why? Because we loved them. We wanted them to walk in the right way. We wanted them to talk the right way. We wanted them to hang with the right people. But like all children, sometimes they get with the wrong ones. But if you taught them, and especially if you taught them in the Word, they will eventually come back because that Word will start working. Worked in me. Yeah, watch it. Okay. 54 through 56. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Have kept the law. This I have because I kept thy precepts. Psalm 63, 6 and 7 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Well, when I was reading all this, what really stuck out to me was, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. This is 49 and 50. For thy word has quickened me. When I got in trouble, my crimes caught up with me in 87, I spent a long time in jail. And one of the jailers was nice enough that they gave me a Bible. So basically all I did all day long for several days is just read the Bible. That's all I could do. And then after I got out of there, I went to a rehab. Well, they called it a rehab. It was actually a psych ward, which is okay. And I was just sitting in there on the bed, on the edge of the bed, because at 9 o'clock, it's lights out. The only thing you see is the lights from the hallway coming in the door. You're locked in. There ain't no getting out of there. I just sat on the edge of the bed, and I said, you know, Lord, I've heard about you all my life. I've even accepted you as my Savior, but I don't know you. I said, I don't care what you do to me and what happens to me, but you take care of my family. You take care of my family. That was the night that I truly received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Because when I woke up, I was no longer on the bed. I was laying flat out on the floor. And from that moment on, I have strived. And I did good for a while, and then I'd mess up. Then I'd do good for a while, and I'd mess up. It's because I didn't stay in this. You got to stay in your word. Once you start reading it, you got to stay in it, because that's the only thing that will change you. And now, there's been a lot of times at night something happened or anything, and I'll lay in the bed and I'll start remembering the things that he talked to me about, the word. You know, I'll be laying there, well, Lord, I got, and then, you know, his word will start coming up. And in 2013, when I got hit by that drunk driver, you know, I didn't have nothing to do, and I was laying in that bed, this leg on a big old foam thing, or this one actually in traction, the other one in a boot, and it was on a foam deal, but I mean, it was in traction. And I was sitting there, and I was praying, talking to the Lord, and I made the comment. I said, you know, I just really don't have time to pray and, you know, read your word. He goes, look up. You know, all I see is, you know, my legs on the bed. He says, you do now. And that's when I told my beautiful wife, I said, you go home and you get that one-year Bible that Mama had given me, the NIV, and I started reading it. And since that day, I have not stopped reading the Word over and over and over. We read it every morning. At some point, I asked her if she could get up early with me, and we read it and we pray and everything before I do anything, because I know me and I know this. And if I get up inside here, I'm a mess. I'm not a person you want to be around. So, but what I'm saying is, there ain't nothing too hard for God. And though you see people around you not doing right, don't fret. You keep going. You keep pushing. You keep reading the Word. This is Jesus Christ in black and white. And I'll tell you, as living proof, this Word is alive. Because when I first started reading it in 2013, it's like everything told me, you choose life, you choose death. I don't read that no more, because I have progressed past that point to where I don't need to have to choose life or death. I've already chose life, Jesus Christ. Eddie, one of our truck drivers at work, one of our newer truck drivers, I ended up giving him a hand to help him, and we started talking about the Lord and everything. And he asked me, he goes, well, I hear that this such and such happened. I said, yeah. He goes, I heard you had a bad accident. And I said, yeah. He goes, whatever happened with that? He goes, what did you, you know, and everything. He said, did you ever talk to, you know, the kid's lawyer or anything? And I said, no. I said, I didn't talk to the lawyer. I said, once I was able to, we went to the district attorney and talked to him. And I said, when I walked in the door, the first thing he asked, oh, you want me to throw the book at him? I said, no, sir, I do not. I says, I want you to get the young man help, some type of therapy or whatever. I want you to give him, because I was 19 one time doing the exact same thing he was doing. And I said, there was many a times that I woke up in my bed and I knew, did not know how I got home. I don't hardly remember anything because of the drugs and the alcohol. And I said, all I want is that young man, that you get him some help so that he don't ever do this again, because the next time he may kill somebody. You know, I was fortunate he didn't kill me. Yes, it messed my legs all up, but that's okay. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I can still talk about Christ to people. You know, I talk to a lot of people at work about the Lord. Some of them are like, go away. And then others would stand there and talk. And one of my things too, I said, find a way to do a daily reading in the Bible. I said, if it just start out with one verse. Just start out with one verse. And I said, when you sit down to read it, you ask the Lord, help me understand. And I says, if you don't understand the King James, find a translation that you feel like you can understand, because it's all been anointed by the Lord. They will all help you. They will all help you get to where you need to be. But the deal is that when you're laying, when things aren't going right, talk to him tonight. Talk to him before you go to bed. Talk to him. Worshiping, praising, you know, whatever you have to do to overcome the situation, or even to overcome yourself, your own spirit. Because unfortunately, our nature is not to follow Christ. You know, so it's something that we have to do. We need to do if we want to progress, if we want to change, if we want to be the man or woman of God, if we want to help people that's around us. You know, like today I was at home listening to a deal, and this lady called in this talk show, and she was, well, I've been going to this church such and such, and we just love it. We get so fed and all this. He says, but our pastor last Sunday got up and says, well, if you don't pay tithes, you're just as bad as a homosexual, and you're not going to go to heaven. The three pastors on that deal, all three of them almost simultaneously said, leave that church, because that is not the Word of God. He said, once you've asked for forgiveness, you're forgiven. If you pay, all three of them said, paying tithes is a heart issue. Giving is a heart issue. It's something that he will teach you as you live for him. You know, it's like here, I give tithes and offering here because this is where I get fed spiritually on Sundays and Wednesdays. And anytime I need to call Pastor Hall or Brandon or Gordon or anybody, I get fed. So I feel like to help support that so that it will continue to go out, especially on the internet. So it goes out to the people. If they're not, if people aren't helping them, well, they can't go out to the people. But now I know God, he'll find a way to get you finances. If you're doing his will, he'll find a way. It's so funny, over all the years, with all the problems me and Becky's been through, the accidents and everything, we still sometimes just look at each other. God's so good. We have not, you know, we have a roof over our head. We got food on our table. We got people that love us. We have a vehicle. I have a job. Do I have everything I want? No. But some of the stuff I probably won't, I don't probably need because it'll distract me. And that's one thing that growing up in the 70s, a lot of parents started making a little bit more money, so they started buying the little toys. Well, the next thing you know, they're not really coming to church. You know, they're spending more time with their little toys and going to the lake and riding their bikes, you know, and all this instead of doing the work for Christ. And I told God, I said, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. I want to be instant season and out of season. I want to be your servant, walk with you, talk with you, share my, you know, testimony with people, pray with people. I mean, we got restaurant, little cafes and stuff we go to, and people getting to where they expect us to pray for them because that's what we do. Sometimes we'll start up a whole conversation about Christ. And a couple weeks ago, we started up one, and the people were two tables over. We were. So it wasn't a quiet conversation, but we were talking about the goodness of God and Christ and how he'll change your life and everything. And there was the rest of the restaurant, little cafe, got quiet. And then get up and leave, and someone walked by, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know. And I said, hey, man, I'm just doing what I'm called to do, and that's to share Christ. The best you know how, do it the best you know how. Don't worry about if you feel like you flopped or not, because somewhere, somebody received. Somebody received Christ or wanted to, may even talk to him, you know. So, yeah, the 49 and 50, it says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. I have an affliction. I can't walk. I can't run hard. I mean, I can walk, but I can't run. I can't do a lot of the things I did before that accident. But I'm still blessed. I'm still here. The Lord is still King. The Lord is still Lord. You look around, and even right now, you look around, the big revivals are not happening in the big churches, but they are happening in secular colleges. You know, I've listened to, was it a video we watched, or was it just something we listened to? Okay, yeah. There's one morning before we were going to work, I watched about 10 minutes of table talk, and this young pastor, well, he wasn't really young, he had pastored a church early on, and he didn't, you know, say why he stopped. Well, he's working at this secular college as a part-time assistant coach. Well, they had a Bible class there, you know, at the deal. Well, the guy that usually did it wasn't able to speak, and somebody went up to this coach and says, hey, somebody told me or said to me or something that you had been a pastor at one time. He says, yes, I have. He says, well, we need you to speak at our Bible class. Because our regular teacher's not going to be able to make it. We need to speak. Well, he gets up there, he speaks and everything. And apparently it was just, there was no response, you know, during his message. So when he gets done and finishes, well, he gets off, you know, he turns around, walking back to the back room and gets on the phone and says, honey, totally bombed, totally bombed. He said about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, they come and got him and said, dude, you got to come out here. You got to come out here. You got to come out here. And what happened was the praise team just kept playing. People were, I mean, nobody was there to lay hands on them or anything. They were accepting Christ. They were speaking in tongues. I mean, and some of them were going out and bringing others. And this is at a secular college, not at a Bible college. Going out and bringing people in and going out and bringing people in. And they found a place there in the gym where they could baptize. 3 days they were there. They were baptizing and, you know, getting people to receive the Lord. So even if you think what you said didn't hit, it did. It did. You'll see the results at some point in your life. Don't give up, don't give in, as my sister always says. You never give up, never give in. You just don't. You keep on pushing. You keep on churning those wheels, you know, like the little engine that could. But anyway, thank y'all for listening to me, my ramblings, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is doing something in this world. It may not look like it, but he's doing something here. There are people that are growing. There are small churches are becoming the very fad now for new Christians. Most of the people I meet, I don't want to go to a big church. I don't want to go to a big church. I don't want to go to a big church. I said, good, find you a small one. And I said, look, first off, none of us are perfect. So you'll be received by some and you won't be by others. But how determined are you to follow him? How determined are you to follow him? And everybody has a past. Everybody has a past. And if they get on to you about your past, just say, hey, I'm redeemed by the Lamb. His blood is covered. I've been washed white as snow. Because he knew everything that was going to happen before he ever created it. He knew everything. He knew every decision. He knew who was going to and who wasn't going to accept him. But we still have to preach to all of creation or all creatures. That's one place. It doesn't matter. That's up to them whether or not they receive. But as long as you're talking about the Lord and you're trying to get people to be saved, you're doing your part. But if we keep silent, we're not going to change nothing. We're not going to change nothing. And I believe that this is, we're in the birthing pains. Jesus talked about the New Testament. I really do. And I always remind other Christians, remember, America is not mentioned in the Bible nowhere. And I said, it's one of two things. Either we've been destroyed or we didn't follow the rest of the world. And God, I've always believed that God created America to be the light to the world, because we first started out, they were, as soon as they created a government, the first thing they did was start sending missionaries to other countries. And the government paid for it, and we didn't pay taxes at that time. Or they didn't. And I still believe that we can be the light of the world. Why we're not mentioned, there's a pastor friend that I know, he says, probably because we're all gone. Or so many people from America has left, it's totally decimated America, and they don't have the manpower to fight or anything. I don't know. I want the latter part where it's, you know, we all go. Because like I said, we're not mentioned at all. And 2/3 of the prophecies in the Bible have so far been fulfilled. But we only got a third left. Anyway, thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all very much. Yes.